This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonsland. This is the Ultimate Man versus the Ultimate Meatball, brother. That and more after a word from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Check out our Napa Auto Tech Facebook page to find out the latest Napa Auto Tech virtual class scheduled at a time that is convenient for you. Learn from the comfort of your home. Well, I'm not sure I can wrap a lot of what's happened over the last week or so into an episode and relate it back to our world, our profession. But we've had a couple big hits to stuff that you guys know, subjects and whatnot that are near and dear to me, I guess. One starting with Ozzy Osbourne passing away after a pretty darn good concert. But as you learn more about that concert, he may have known more than he let on about where things were heading. And later on, we lost Hulk Hogan, the immortal Hulk Hogan. So I guess on the level with Ozzy, I knew he had Parkinson's and I knew he'd had a series of surgeries. I knew his health was kind of suspect and maybe suspect for a while. You know, that concert that he did with Black Sabbath and so many others, and along with tributes, he looked and sounded pretty decent. I know he was in the chair the whole time. It sounds like he was strapped into the chair to help him be stable as well as prevent him from standing up. I think due to, of course, the Parkinson's and then the series of surgeries he has had, that had made stability a big problem. And also in a lot of pain, physical pain. And so watching that, watching how good he did, sounded pretty decent, looked okay in agony. I think that would be the appropriate word, agony, throughout most of it. And I'm sure adrenaline helped. I'm not trying to downplay it at all. But he's on some pretty heavy medications for pain management, and they made him groggy and slowed and slurred his speech more so than it already was. So he really had no interest in that and wanted to be fully present, have his wits about him the entire time. So he skipped out on the meds, and it just makes that performance that much more amazing. I guess also where I started with this, truth to be told, is that I don't know that I really consider myself much of a Sabbath fan or an Ozzy Osbourne fan, which might be blasphemous for a I think it's fairly well known. I guess a metalhead. I think everybody knows my preference of music is heavy and metal and not much else. I can appreciate most other genres or certain songs, right? You can appreciate that. And I think in a way that's where, to me, like Sabbath and Zeppelin, Fall, Thin Lizzy, those type of bands where I can appreciate their contributions, right? That Ozzy and Black Sabbath, and really namely a guitarist, Tony Iommi, helped create the sound that we now associate with metal, or at least started the ball rolling on it through a freak accident at work. He's at work and loses the tips of his fingers on his non-strumming hand, the fretting hand, if you will. To continue to play guitar, he had these kind of made these wooden fingertips, if you will. But when he used them, it sounded terrible. So the solution was to downtune the guitar. And that's where we got that metal, I guess, muddy metal sound that, I mean, it launched an entire genre, subgenre, if you will. That's amazing. And Ozzy is definitely a part of that because, along with lyrics, of course, he helped write melodies. And so I guess I just really appreciate his contribution. And it's not like I dislike their music. If it's on, I don't turn it off. Unless it's Iron Man, that riff. I'm sorry, man. That just gets to me. I like how it starts, but then when it does that, I just, yeah, turn into war pigs or something. Yeah, so that wasn't as surprised, nor like I didn't get a little bit emotional about it, but it does suck to kind of lose a legend like that. But I thought it was pretty cool that he got that concert and a lot of people got to say what they felt about Jack Black. That kind of that tribute hosted the show, did a really wonderful job. That's kind of neat. I think you guys have heard me say this before with, you know, Harvey Chan. One of the really neat things was that while he was in hospice and he kind of knew things weren't going to end well, that he did have time to read what people, you know, when they found out what's going on, and they'd make these posts on professional networks and social media. And then, of course, just text messaging, phone calls. He got to know what people felt. He got to know and learn how he affected people. That's kind of an amazing thing. And that we got to see that with Ozzy. And then that kind of takes us to Hogan. Didn't really see that one coming. I knew there was stuff coming out that he was on his deathbed and his health was not good and all that. But then you saw him out and about, or you'd get word from reliable sources, close friends, that he was doing fine. He also had a lot of surgeries, kind of referencing last episode about professional wrestling being a work, but it's not fake. And you look at the list of surgeries that somebody like him has had for his art, the performance. You know, when he started out, you know, there's the build height, you know, 6'9 or 6'8, whatever it was. He was probably a fairly legit 6'6, 6'7, right? And you could see him standing next to like Sylvester Stallone and stuff like that. And I understand for the movie, they play some angles, but fairly legit, tall. He was tall, big guy. And through the years of performing, if you had watched him at all, and I think most people have seen him perform in a wrestling ring to some degree, especially now, but even leading up to now, like when you'd see clips of some of the whatever news stories there'd be on wrestling, or when Hulk's name would come up in a not so positive manner in the news, a lot of times you'd see some of the things he'd do in the ring. And the one thing was his finishing move that they called the leg drop. And yeah, it's simple. By today's standards, pretty lame. But the reality is it's not that hard to buy into a 300-pound man jumping really high and dropping his leg across your neck or chest, and that being enough to incapacitate you for the 3 seconds it would take to pin you. Fine. But think about that. If he's about 6'6", 6'7", and he weighs close to 300 pounds, how many people do you know are 6'7"? I think my brother's pretty tall. I think he's about 6'4". You start thinking about the taller people we know in this profession. I don't know. Are they quite 6'6"? 6'7"? And then on top of that, pushing 300 pounds? And if you watch when he does this move, he gets up in the air a fair bit, right? 3-4 feet in the air and then coming down on his tail. Sometimes more than once a night. Yeah, sometimes more than once a day, because that's how they used to do it. They might have a, you know, a scheduled match, if you will, scheduled performance, and then they do maybe some TV taping stuff to be played later on. So they might have to go to the ring a couple times. And if we go back very far, and I think I talked about this a little bit, you know, the rings weren't as gimmicked as they are now. It's certainly not a trampoline out there now. It's certainly not a mattress. It's not super soft, but it's much better than it used to be. A lot safer for them to do these stunts or high spots than years ago, where years ago was much more like a boxing ring where there was very little to no give. That's how he started. So he's doing that move with very little give, and he's doing it over and over and over, multiple times a week. Think about the damage to your spine. And that's what happened. Lots of damage. And you can see where a lot of people would talk about when they first met him way back like the 80s and 90s. He was so tall. He was such a big dude. And then they'd see him again in, you know, the late 2000s. And it's like, wow, he's not as tall as I remember him. He wasn't. I believe he had shrank an inch or two. I think it was pushing two because of all the surgeries and so much compression to his spine and the damage to the discs. That's insane. So yeah, he had to recover from a lot of surgeries and even recent ones. He dies of cardiac arrest, which the reality is that's what my dad had. And my dad didn't die because he just so happened to be laying next to my mom, who is a historically light sleeper. And he starts kind of this snoring as his body is trying to get oxygen, trying to oxygenate the blood. It's just not being pumped around. And he lucks out, right? My mom wakes up. My brother just so happens to be there visiting for Christmas. And they keep him alive until the ambulance can get there. And then they really shock his heart back in the sinus on the way to the hospital. Hulk didn't get that lucky. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm sure general health has a lot to do with cardiac arrest. If they do an autopsy, maybe he suffered a massive heart attack, which would be the overwhelming reason for having a cardiac arrest like that. But you can have sudden cardiac arrest from just basically an electrical storm, right? Where we do run on electricity, bioelectrical, and stuff sometimes goes haywire. Ultimately, that's what they had kind of decided with my dad, because when they went in to check his heart, you know, for any sort of blockages, they didn't find any. So now they don't know what to do short of put a pacemaker in him. And really, it's not even a pacemaker. I think he's had it over 2 years and it's never fired once. So it's never had to interact or deliver any sort of a pulse to his heart to shock it into a rhythm or started again, anything like that. So it's just a freak thing. Something similar could have happened with Hulk. I guess to talk about him, what I remember from my childhood, which of course he was it. He was my favorite. I'm not sure I can explain why. It's almost like I felt like I should. But there's nothing that can deny he had a way of connecting with the audience that we really hadn't seen before. And his success, I think it was a lot him, but it's a lot timing too. You have the right place at the right time, the right character, the right gimmick, if you will. Plus, this gentleman's ability to somehow resonate and connect with an audience, to evoke an emotion. I guess we've kind of seen it since with, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think was also just really good timing. Good character, of course, but, you know, he connected because it resonated with people that really kind of had it with their real or perceived tyrannical bosses. And Stone Cold would say and do things to his boss, Vince McMahon, that we only prayed we could do. We only wished we could do. And then The Rock. Yeah, The Rock seemed to have a good way of just connecting. But up to that point, there's nothing really like that. Now, granted, if there were, they wouldn't have had the platform Hogan had, right? The WWE, WWF at the time, used to really just be the kind of the New York territory. Well, Vince Jr., who had taken over from his father, decided that, you know what? Enough of this ridiculousness with the territories. We're going to go national, which is a big deal. And he has Hulk Hogan, just the right individual with the right look, the right personality and gimmick, and this ability to connect both in person and through the camera. I never got to see the guy live. We're nowhere near close to him, but I took my son and daughter to an event that ended up being a Monday Night Raw. Right around Christmas time. So we got to see Hogan. that's about it, right? And he had patterned himself after superstar Billy Graham, kind of with the same hair and the tan and the build. But superstar Billy Graham just did not connect with an audience the way Hulk could. And you basically took this entire industry and it exploded. And it became this not only national, but eventually a worldwide phenomenon, where now Hulk Hogan's is recognizable as Muhammad Ali, as Michael Jordan. That's insane to think about. A professional wrestler on the sport cover of Sports Illustrated, a professional wrestling match result being on the news, like just the regular news, CBS, ABC type news, NBC. This is maybe even before, or it would have been really early in the beginnings of maybe a CNN, which I didn't have cable as a kid, so I can't really tell you. I just know that watching the news that night, of all things, one of the headlining things was the result of WrestleMania 3, and they showed Hulk Hogan picking up Andre the Giant and slamming him and winning the title. That never happened. Nobody paid that much attention to professional wrestling. It was fake. It was silly. Yet Hogan somehow transcended all that. And of course, you know, Hollywood gets into Hollywood and not nearly to the degree of The Rock, of course, and now Dave Bautista and John Cena, but still, he was in his fair share of shows and movies and cameos. So yeah, we just never saw anything like that. Yeah, he captivated.
NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Auto Tech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training.
And then that gimmick, you know, the say your prayers, take your vitamins, and train, and all his little Hulkamaniacs, the wearing the red and the yellow and all that, that started to kind of wear thin. People didn't care anymore, and WWE let him go. They parted ways, let him go to Hollywood, and I think he was in a TV show, Thunder in Paradise, and off he goes. WWE kind of goes all in with the Ultimate Warrior. That kind of went sideways because he's working on a set. It just so happened to be kind of where WCW, a competitor of WWE, was. And they kind of worked on Hulk to maybe come out of retirement and wrestle again. And he does, but he's using the same gimmick, right? You know, say your prayers, take your vitamins, real American type stuff. It's just not resonating. Like, it started out, people are happy to see him back, but then it's kind of meh. And they pitched the idea of him turning into a bad guy or turning heel. So he's worried about that because something very important to him was the Make-A-Wish.
and working with kids and all that. And if he turns heel, that endangers that. And we kind of saw that with John Cena, right? There's many times where I think they were going to turn him heel, but they look at the number of make-a-wishes and it's like John Cena has more wishes granted than anyone in the history of make-a-wish. And I think it's like even the first two or three combined, or, you know, after him, second, third, and fourth combined still have fewer than he has. So turning him heel is kind of a big deal. It gets difficult to do, but he decides to do it. And wrestling at the time was, you know, again, kind of meh. This is just before the Attitude Era. This is what starts the Attitude Era, along with the Montreal Screwjob with Bret the Hitman Hart. But Hulk turns heel, and I don't know if you've ever seen those videos. It's interesting to watch people throwing stuff in the ring. Like, I didn't really care about him when he was the red and the gold and the real American. But then he turns into a bad guy and basically says that he wasn't doing it for his Hulkamaniacs. He wasn't doing it for America and to be a good person. He did it for the money. Starts the New World Order of Wrestling, NWO, along with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. Again, wrestling's not doing so good. Boom. Hogan does something and somehow, some way, just causes a major shift. And we just haven't seen anything like it. And I don't know who to compare that to for our world. We've just never seen anything like that. I don't know. I mean, I suppose the easy thing would be, you know, Thornton with education and training and presenting. You don't really see anything like that, especially if you've never seen him before. You just never saw anything like that. There's nothing to prepare you for being in that classroom or now online. I guess, you know, Paul Danner, where he's recording videos for his students. He's not thinking anything more than that. Just an easy way for his students at the college to be able to review his presentations and his lectures. And he puts it up on a platform that's easy to access, and it's easy enough to access by a lot of people, and a lot of people like it, and rightfully so. And it's a popularity explosion. And it turns out Paul connects with people really, really well for very good reason, right? We just feel like he's one of us. He is one of us. And he doesn't give up, and he works hard, and he cares, and he makes mistakes, and he owns it, and he gets better and better, just like the rest of us. That's kind of what it's all about. Just getting a little bit better every day. If you got 1% better every day, and that ends up, that would be a lot. If you start thinking about that, if you got 1% better, you think 1% is such a minute amount. But the reality is if you got better 0.33% better every day in a year, you're 100% better. That's not nothing. Yeah, so I would love to just be able to take these things and twist them around and just make them really resonate for our day-to-days. Sure, it's easy to point out that both of these gentlemen, Ozzy and Hulk, just did stuff that they loved and fully marinated themselves in it. But that's not a guarantee of success, right? We can't just say, like, if you just throw yourself into it, you're going to be just fine. Chances are, if you do throw yourself into it and you truly love what you're doing, especially for what we're doing, you're going to be successful. How, and then define success, I know that's rough, but there's certain skills and luck. You know, I think with Hulk Hogan, timing. Ozzy, maybe a little bit timing, right? You know, Tony doesn't get his fingers wrecked. Is Sabbath remotely what it is? Good timing. Right place at the right time, the right situation. And could they possibly have known they were in the right situation? I don't know. I think for most of us, we're seeking the right situation. What is the best situation for us to be able to blossom and be successful? You know, then we're stacking our odds. And of course, we have options, right? We have many different shops throughout the country or whatever range of travel that we're willing to make. That's a little bit different. But yeah, finding the right spot, finding the right environment, culture, whatever you want to call it, or however you want to describe it. That's one of the big key things we can do for our success. And then, yeah, we're going to have to throw ourselves into it a bit. We're going to have to put forth some effort and time, take our licks. I might have to do an episode on freaking Triple H, Paul Levesque, just because I think that in a way would relate to us, or many of us, or could. It just felt like, how do I ignore these events, knowing the importance Ozzy had in the development and creation of the genre of music I like best? And then, yeah, Hogan be maybe the biggest star in a industry that I at least respect. And I'm a fan. I haven't been, I guess I don't watch it regularly, though. I don't want to overplay that I'm just this monster fan that we watch every pay-per-view and never miss Monday Night Raw and never miss SmackDown. Like, I just kind of check in on stuff from time to time, but I do like the behind the scenes, which we talked about a lot. And I almost lament talking about this because somebody that passed away a while ago that really did mean a lot to me for some ridiculous reason, I don't know, I've found him to be maybe the funniest human being alive, Bob Uecker, and I didn't do an episode on that. But yeah, just felt remiss not to discuss these two individuals and at least talk a bit about how both of them, their contributions created, you know, entire, I guess, industries or popular genres, if you will. And we do have a little bit of that in our world. And we can take a little bit of inspiration from both. I think the other thing they share is an awareness. Maybe they're just lucky, but I think we can pay attention to that too, is to be keeping our eyes open for opportunities to break out of our comfort zones. Even if it's not just the individual, just like even with the shop itself or our businesses, that we're looking outside of just fixing cars, which I don't want to downplay. Like, that's the most important thing. And that customer experience, right? The customer experience of having their vehicle serviced at our facilities, but also keeping our eyes open to expand out. And I'm not saying the shop's also going to have a built-in restaurant, although I guess it could, but maybe delving into other things to get noticed more, be it sponsorships, be it just getting involved, you know, getting the shop, everybody together, closing the shop down a little early on a whatever day, maybe even the middle of the week, to go do something with something like a Habitat for Humanity, like just stuff that may seem a little left field, but getting out there and doing stuff like that and garnering more attention for the shop and our people. The reference there would be, you saw Ozzy and Hulk both have reality shows. The basis was, Ozzy was still music. The basis for Hulk Hogan was still wrestling, but they did this other thing. I'm sure they had a suspicion it would be popular, but I'm not sure really. You can't assume anything, but we could take something from that to kind of break out of our shells a little bit, break outside the walls of the shop and bring more attention, positive attention, good attention to the shop, to our businesses. So that might be something worth paying attention to and thinking more on. And even as individuals, to break out of our shells and look into doing other things outside of our day-to-day. You know, if we're mainly a mechanical specialist, trying to break into technical or vice versa, learning more about seemingly unrelated subjects like photography, learning about photography and lighting so that we can do better DVIs. So yeah, I hope you got a kick out of this. I know it's a little left field. I just felt like I couldn't ignore those two deaths. Yeah, I really, really appreciate you listening. I really, really appreciate our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. And I really want to thank the Aftermarket Radio Network If you have any ideas or thoughts or comments about this episode or others, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can find me on social media. You can also email me at mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.